The bird is dead. Long live Threads. More diversity, more equity, more money. An SEC's love letter to SolarWinds. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Build the impossible at CompTIA ChannelCon 2023, running August 1st through the 3rd at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. Join other technology innovators and peers to solve problems and create new opportunities in 3 days of learning, collaboration, and transforming your business and career. Speakers include Eric Anthony, Aaron Chernin, Vince Chrysler, Bob Coppage, and ChannelCon's 2023 keynote speaker, Mick Ebeling. Be inspired. Build the impossible. This $1,200 value is yours at no cost when you register with promo code SBOIT23 or scan the QR code on your screen.
Good morning and welcome to the July 7th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Roy Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, excellent. 4th of July weekend, long week. Some of us aren't even here. Actually, I hear that some of us are watching this podcast while they're on vacation from 4th of July weekend, which was last weekend. How was your 4th of July weekend?
My 4th of July was fantastic. I got that igniter that I was talking to you about, and it was amazing.
Hold on just a moment. Sorry. NSA? Yeah, NSA. Yeah. I know it's the igniter, it's the remote. I know. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah,
bomb, recall back. Bomb. Yeah, no, it was phenomenal. It's nothing like light. So the highest weight legal fireworks you can get is 60 grams. That's the biggest pumpkin you can get. I bought about 200. So and firing them six and seven shots at a time with music blaring in the background. It wasn't even our music. There were music from, my mom's house is on a lake. The other side, they were having a pool party. So as their music was going on, our fireworks were going off on beat to their music. It was awesome. So
these are like mortar shells.
Yes, these are mortar shells.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. But something I was thinking about over the weekend, you know, over the holiday was, if I'm out of office, you know, I want my customers responded to. I want to be able to make sure their emails get addressed, right? I don't want MSPs calling, messaging me and getting ignored. So I found a service you may be interested in, Tony. In Iceland, because all the best things come from Iceland, right? Isn't that where Elsa and Let It Go and all that stuff. So in Iceland, they have a horse, right? They have a service where a horse will type on a keyboard for you and respond to emails. Okay. It's outsource your email instead of outsource. It is awesome. And you can choose between three horses. I'm going to totally butch this. Litla Stjarna Fra Havrit. Okay, if you're from Iceland and you know this stuff, please give us the stuff. Hit us up on Discord. And they have personalities. So Hrymnir Fra Havami is described as assertive, efficient, with shiny hair, or a Hekla Fra, that's bad, friendly and trained in corporate buzzwords. And yeah, you can book a horse. All you got to do is go to outhorseyouremail.com and you can, instead of saying you're away, you can say nay. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's get into the news.
My brain just am going into a seizure and you want me to jump? Let's get into the news. Oh my gosh. And in my first article from TechCrunch.com, also in Gadget.com and a variety of sources, Threads, Meta's Twitter competitor, is now live. Meta, formerly Facebook, has launched a new text-based social networking app called Threads, aiming to rival Twitter. Users can post short updates, including text, links, photos, and other short videos. The app is integrated with Instagram, allowing users to log in with their existing Instagram credentials and carry over their profiles. It is not yet available in the EU due to data privacy concerns. While Threads will soon offer support for ActivityPub, the protocol behind open-source Twitter rival Mastodon, there are concerns that Meta might dominate this emerging market, like Google's hold on web-based email. Ray, I want to unpack this with you because, frankly, I went out and I got my Threads app and I logged in with my Instagram. And for those of you who even care, Tony Francisco one, the number one. Do you have a Threads app, Ray? Do you have a thread? Do you have Threads?
I did. I did actually go to the Threads website, right? Which this is infinitely helpful, isn't it? And then you zoom into that little QR code there on the bottom, and then it takes you to the App Store, meaning there's no web app. Takes you to the app. And then once you're in the App Store, you download it, and you can't create an account. You have to log in with Instagram.
Yep.
Because it's Meta, right? Not your Facebook account, but your Instagram account, which could be looked to could be linked to Facebook, but may not be linked to Facebook. Does not support multiple accounts the way TikTok does. So, yeah. What I did do, though, because this story was actually brought to us by Vicky Bruns of ConnectWise, right? In charge of the ConnectWise marketplace and ecosystem. So I had asked her, and she's going to come on a different episode to give us how vendors might use this or what their game plans are, right? Not speaking for all vendors, but just spitballing ideas. And also, we're going to bring on some MSPs to talk about how they might use this, because there are absolutely MSPs that are using Twitter right now. And I don't know about you, but most of the MSPs I know are using Twitter as a quasi status page, right? Like when Microsoft 365 has issues, there's a Twitter page for it and it has alerts. And when, you know, Google has issues or anybody else has issues, they usually post to Twitter really quickly, even before updating their own status pages. So MSPs kind of look to that for their just-in-time momentary notices. And with Twitter making things more and more complicated to work with, Thread makes sense. So I wonder how many MSPs are actually looking at it from that perspective.
So Ray, you've got a lot of good points. I love the, hey, we're using Twitter and Threads / Instagram as the alerts for MSPs. But then the question is, what is that receiving audience going to be? Is it large enough to make a difference? Is it too soon to put those alerts on the front end like that? Is this going to evolve into something else where it's not just associated to a singular Instagram account, not a business, think about this, a Facebook business Facebook account that's associated to the MSP that could then be sent out through Thread as that transport mechanism, as that communication mechanism, because that'd be kind of cool if we could do that. But I don't think it's there yet. So
that's kind of the thing. I think this all hinges on, will there be an API available, right? Because the reason Twitter's so prolific is A, it's easy to consume. B, you can consume it pretty damn near anywhere you want. I mean, how many tools do you have that'll integrate Twitter, right?
Now you got to pay. You got to pay for the API now. You got to pay.
Don't get me started. Okay, Mr. Reddit. Don't get me started.
So, I was going to say, do you know of a Reddit, any Reddit topics on this? For those of you, okay, hold on, watch this transition. For those of you who don't know about this, Ray, would you enlighten them about the Reddit community?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm proud to say I'm moderator of the RMSP community. It's the largest MSP community on the planet with 150,000 members. And speaking of communities, MSP should watch our MSP community live on Sunday at 7 p.m., 7 to 8 p.m. So the reason I say about APIs, though, is it's so important because if I can't push out in mass, because right now I can push out Discord, Slack, Reddit, Facebook, whatever, and I can do all that and it's not a big deal because it's one push. But if I have to go log in platform by platform by platform, that's going to hinder, you know, its use, right? And then Meta is very much like, who's the other one that does this? Google, where if you have a Google personal account, you can sign up for certain services. And if you have a Google paid account, you cannot. Meta does that as well. Like you said, Instagram business, Instagram personal, right? So I see some challenges here, and they've not addressed on threads.net with their beautiful website with this, whatever that is. But we're at time. I want to hear from the MSPs. Tell us what you're going to do. Are you going to thread it up? Or are you staying with the Bluebird? Let us know.
Let's jump into the next story here. What do you got?
Tony, I do have good stuff. Actually, this is one of those that is near and dear to my heart. One of our good friends of the show, Mr. Dave Sobel, Business of Tech, actually does a quarterly report on diversity, equity, and inclusion, looking at different businesses in the MSP space. And he does this via various methods, and we'll talk with him. And actually, we're fortunate to have him on the show to talk about the results of this quarterly report. Mr. Dave Sobel, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, guys. Nice to see you again. I'm doing rocking and rolling over here.
Love it. Love it. So, you know, you do this quarterly, and you've been doing this for how long again?
Launched in September 2020, which has important historical significance from the timing there.
Absolutely. The world changed significantly there. Had, you know, everything was up in the air. There's been lots of layoffs, hires, growth. Mm-hmm. There was expansion through 2020, 2021. There was tons of tech layoffs this past year. Have you seen, before we get to the results of this report, but over those quarters, because you have a lot of data at this point, have you seen the leadership changes mimic or be affected by those ebbs and flows of scaling and, you know, layoffs and everything else going on?
You know, I wish I was coming bearing good news, and the answer is no. So the basic premise of the report is that I believe that, you know, sort of change starts from the top in organizations, and leadership should reflect the kinds of organization they want to build. And so let's take a look, right? That was the idea, is go out there and look at the demographics of leadership at IT organizations. And we've been doing since September 2020 reporting on this, and the data is pretty consistent. It's been pretty consistent the entire time we've looked at it, that it just isn't changing.
So, Dave, let's talk about this for a moment. I'm going to be the devil's advocate for just a moment. Change starts from the top. I'm of the opinion we have laws and governance, and laws are, hey, here's the laws of the parameters, the laws of physics. And as long as you stay within those laws of physics, you can do whatever you want, but you can't go outside the laws of physics. Pretty simple to understand that. But now governance is the inside there, what you do inside there. And typically governance can be applied from middle management for, hey, here's a best case or best practice, for example. That does happen to come from the top from a security perspective. Here's a best practice, and everyone does the best practice, except when it comes to like changing passwords and all the common sense stuff. But not for now. The point I'm trying to make is that, where do you think this should start? Is it absolutely something that should start from the top? And if what you're saying is change starts from the top and it's not changing, do you think there's a better path for this to take? Should it start somewhere from middle? Hey, is this a policy level component that should be implemented, not necessarily from the vision of the company C level, but almost policy level from an HR perspective or a company charter perspective that's even beyond that? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, so interestingly, so I don't come at this by claiming to be any kind of expert in DEI initiatives, right? So,
get off the screen. No,
I'm actually coming from it is I come at it really from the perspective of, like, I'm a good-hearted capitalist, right? I like making money. I like building organizations that do that. And so I want to cite a couple of data points from Zipia that kind of give perspective on why I think this is important. And then I'll get to, like, sort of how to do something about it. So companies with racially and ethnically diverse leadership teams are 35% more likely to outperform companies with little or no diversity. So that's the leadership team. Companies with greater gender diversity perform 15 to 20% better than companies with little or no gender diversity. A diverse workforce, priority for 67% of job seekers. Diverse companies enjoy 2.3 times more cash flow per employee than the less inclusive businesses. And at least 3/4 of all employees prefer to work in a diverse environment. Now, you ask, how do you get there? All the ways, right? And I mean that, like, kind of intentionally fun, in a fun way. I don't think there's one way to get to those end results. I just think it's important to prioritize getting there. And from my perspective, I just wanted to start looking at leadership teams to see if that was a factor in this and if they are leaning into that. And interestingly, you know, we'll get into some of the data when you guys are ready. But one of the things that I do find is that larger companies are performing better. That the only demographic that I can separate out here is when I look at publicly traded or Fortune 1000 companies, the numbers generally improve for women, increasing to sort of 25% of the population versus what I find as the regular average.
And these are the same companies that are focusing on things like ESG as well. They're focusing on tons of initiatives. It's in their best interest to do that. But it seems like, from what you're saying, from a financial motive, It's in everybody's best interest. So you just did this report. You just did these, this study for this past quarter. You're going to give me a lot of good news. We're moving in the right direction because that's the way to make money, right? Give me some good news, Dave.
I really do wish I was coming with bearing. I'm coming with consistent news. So this quarter, we looked at 300 companies, and that's 4,421 humans across those organizations. It's about 47% vendors, about 48% technology providers. That's MSPs, IT services companies, just those that provide the services. And this quarter, we found that 89.5% are white and 2.87% are black. Everyone else is non-white. The breakdown is also 78.7% male. And it's very similar between vendors and technology providers, right? So it's only that look at larger companies, publicly traded Fortune 1000, where it improves for women. And the racial divide, however, always remains within 2%.
So you have a very interesting point, because first off, you're coming in with all these facts and statistics.
What a novel idea. Come armed with data.
The point of the larger organizations, are we talking about a general population? What is it? From what I understand, it's about 50-50 plus or minus a percent or two of men to women in the U.S. domestically. And I'm assuming that's where the study took place.
I do look global. So I'm looking across. And I can't the numbers don't change when I slice rest of world versus U.S.
Okay, that's beautiful. Because if the population is, for the most part, half-half male-female, but we have this overwhelming 72% male-dominated portion of the industry, is that population of men? What happens with the executive level? Is the population of women that's in that bottom, 30% tier or 28% tier, is that up at the executive level, these organizations?
So, to clarify what I'm sampling. So my data set is looking at IT leadership. So what I'm doing, and it is a very simple process. I go to their website, I click on leadership, and we count faces. It is an incredibly manual process, right?
I was just going to say, as simple as that sounds, I got to be honest, that's a very laborious process.
It takes a good month of correlation to actually pull that all together every single quarter. Like, it's an actual investment of time. But by the way, not perfect. I freely admit that this is not a perfect system, that we are literally going to websites and counting faces and names, and we are identifying based on a visual interpretation of that. So I want to note that, there is a certain level of impreciseness to the data, but I don't think that's the message, actually. The message is just I go to their websites, we look at who each company represents as their leadership. So that should speak to who they believe is the leadership. That may mean that's the entire organization. We have some in the sample set where they put everybody on the website, right? Like a smaller technology provider will put everybody. Well, if they count everybody as a leader, then we'll count them all. and in a larger organization, we'll go and we'll count everybody that they do. Perhaps it includes all of, all the executive team, and that's 35 people. We'll count them all. And then what we'll do is we're identifying visually. So we're taking a look and saying, okay, we're trying to identify. And we know that there's going to be a certain degree of imprecise nature to that. I'm looking at this from the perspective of larger, because when you get to a large enough sample set, like we're looking across 4,000 people, we should be able to say, okay, even factoring in that, Sam, say we're incredibly wrong, right? We're still in a margin of error that tells us what the trends look like. And I think that's defined as leadership level.
The only takeaway I have here that makes me sad is that you say the number's constant, that it's not, that you're seeing a severe lack of change where it counts in the SMB space. That hurts.
That's the and that really is the message. And I think, Tony, you kind of hit on what's interesting here, right? So the one area where it's different, Fortune 1000, publicly traded companies, I think literally the only difference is they're doing non-zero amounts to address it. I literally think that they're more inclined to invest in programs at that level, because of their size and scale and wanting to reach to more customers. And by the way, back to all those performance data, say, like, they'll look at it and say, well, hey, we want to have as large a customer base as possible. We want to appeal to as many people as possible. How do we do that? This is one component of success.
And if you want to help Dave with his information gathering, you don't just have to have it on your website. If you're a case like we are, that we didn't have it on our website, Dave does have a form on the same report page, so you can self-submit, so you can put the information. Dave, thank you so much. We will include the link below to both Business of Tech and also the report itself. Thanks so much for being on. I'm really hoping when we do this again next quarter, when you're on, you'll have better news for us, man. Please.
Well, I hope so, but I want to leave with one kind of good piece. The reason I also think this is important, I think there's competitive advantage here, is if you've got a thing that isn't happening, where at a broad perspective, and we have data that says you can outperform, I think individual orgs that start investing here can outperform. And that's why I spend as much time as I do on it.
I think you have the numbers to show that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dave. Thanks for coming on again. We always appreciate you. Go check out Dave's Business of Tech podcast and everything else in the special reports that he does. It's definitely on my daily listening list. Thanks, guys. Have a good one, Dave. Right.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, Tony. Roses are red, violets are blue. You got something for me to you?
And jumping into my second story from CSOonline.com, a notice from the SEC to SolarWinds CISO and CFO rocks the cybersecurity industry. U.S. SEC staff has recommended legal action against SolarWinds executives, including the CFO and CISO, that's Chief Information Security Officer, due to violations of federal law in response to the 2020 cyber attack on the company. The employees have received Wells notices from the SEC, a preliminary indication that the SEC might file a civil enforcement action for alleged violations of U.S. federal security laws. The SEC sent similar notice to SolarWinds itself last year, alleging violations related to cybersecurity disclosures and public statements and internal controls. This move by the SEC could imply new potential liabilities for cybersecurity professionals, making them more accountable for their decisions. Ray, this is a horror story happening in real time. This is a Friday the 13th in real. This is your dreams, nightmares coming into the reality of where we live right now. I can touch it and feel it. What do we do if you can be punished for the unknown? Do you want to be in charge of anything where the imaginary unknown can come back to get you at a civil level? They can come back personally attacking you, not just the company, which by itself is terrifying, because right. You are the visual representation of everything that occurs in the company as a CISO. But now you personally, who is going to be chasing that CISO title? Talk to me.
And that's the weird thing, right? Because up to now, CISO is basically printing money. If you have, I mean, you have to have the work, you have to have the experience, no question there. I am not devaluing anybody that has a CISO title on their name. But now it's a little like MSP. When you're an MSP, you're taking on a ton of liability, right? You're getting those sweet 70, 80% margins on your contracts, but you're taking on a ton of liability. When you're a medical doctor, you're taking on a ton of liability. If you're a surgeon, you take on a ton of liability, right? To a lesser extent, an attorney, maybe malpractice. So now we're holding the CISOs to the same standard. I wonder if this is, and I hate it all comes back to insurance. I wonder if this is going to turn into some kind of GL or E&O specifically for CISOs, right?
Well, this is where I'm going. Yeah, you and I live in Florida, different parts of Florida. But at the end of the day, it's not easy to get insurance in Florida. And if you ever use your insurance, you don't have that insurance company anymore. That's it. So, but let's talk about that. You brought it up, the doctors. It's difficult to get insurance as a doctor. It makes the doctor's work expensive, not because they're charging, but because a lot of that has to get paid to the insurance. It's difficult to get, well, now you can get solar panels, the actual square solar panels in Florida, because they're saying, nope, can't do that because they blow off and they rip off the roof and they hurt someone else. We don't want to be liable for that. So I guess the tiles now, the kind of the Tesla, the cyber tile,
yeah,
the roof tiles, whatever, the solar tiles. But this goes back to, is it going to be difficult to find a CISO because the insurance isn't going to cover the CISO?
Or do you build it part of the company costs, right? Is this the organization takes on the cost? Is this, and it is terrifying, but also SolarWinds made their bed, right? We all remember the SolarWinds Orion events.
We covered this right? Live as it was happening.
It was the intern's fault. You know, hold on, SolarWinds 1, 2, 3. Oh, it still works. Okay. So, you know what I mean? But they made their bed. They, to be fair, and I do think this may be a little overreaching, in my opinion. It's setting a standard that is possibly going to harm the greater whole. And I do believe something needs to be done, because for many, many, many decades, software companies have just run amok with whatever security practices they want, right? This is the cloud. It's secure. Don't worry about it. You don't need to know our sub-processors. You don't need to know our software bomb. You don't need to. That's not important. Just trust us, right? And so this goes back to, I'm going to see if I can get on somebody from Cove Data Protection, because Enable was giving out their stance on HIPAA compliance. And it was absurdly vague. It was vague enough where you're not certain if you can use the RMM or the backup products or the email, the Microsoft 365 backup products in HIPAA regulated environments, because it was so vague. And when asked for clarity, it became more vague. It was spaghetti in a conundrum wrapped in an enigma. It was ridiculous. But software companies have been doing this. So I can't say I fault the SEC for saying enough, right? Because when the SolarWinds event happened, they screwed with government. That's who was using Orion.
That
they screwed with the big companies.
I think that's what, and then they said, let's clamp it down. And I believe the dolphin term is rolls downhill. And so this is what we're seeing right now. I'm really concerned that the rest of the country, the rest of the world is going to see what Florida sees with insurance, which homeowners insurance, you have to have homeowners insurance. It's not easy to get. Doctors, we've heard about the doctor insurance for so long. You brought that up so casually, but it's such a huge issue. I have a lot of friends that are doctors, and they really struggle with it. Insurance is brutal. We're now watching this permeate the entire IT industry, from Fifth Wall Insurance. Wes Spencer has been talking about this, all the cyber insurance but this has now gone all the way to the top, to the CISO level, at a personal level. And I just feel like someone's gonna have to pay.
The wrong direction?
It's going the wrong direction. If someone's going to have to pay, and it's going to be all of us, and I don't know what the solution is. It actually makes me sad, and I don't like not knowing how something is working, because then I don't understand it, and I don't understand how this is working.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I feel with you. I feel exactly the same. I also want to know how the MSPs feel. Hit us up in the comments. Hit us up on Discord. Maybe hit us up on Threads. Who knows? But for now, Tony, you got some notables for us?
I do. Let's jump into them. And in my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, the Android July security update fixes 3 actively exploited bugs. Google has issued its monthly security update for Android, addressing 46 vulnerabilities, 3 of which are believed to be actively exploited. The most critical, CVE-2023-21250, could allow remote code execution without user interaction. The update is applicable to Android versions 11, 12, and 13, and comes in 2 patch levels, one for core Android components and another for kernel and closed source components. Older Android versions may also be affected, so users are advised to upgrade their devices or install third-party Android distributions that provide updates for these versions. And in my next notable mention from darkreading.com, SSH servers are hit in proxyjacking cyberattacks. Cyber criminals are exploiting Secure Shell Protocol, that's SSH servers, to launch Docker services and steal network bandwidth for financial gain in a new type of cyber attack called proxyjacking. In these attacks, threat actors remotely access SSH servers and run scripts to incorporate victim servers into legitimate P2P proxy networks. This allows the criminals to monetize the stolen bandwidth, potentially generating substantial passive income. Due to the complex nature of these attacks, tracking the origin of such activities is challenging. Cybersecurity experts recommend vigilance in network monitoring, regular updates and patching, and close examination of unusual network activities to mitigate such threats.
What's up, y'all? In our AI roundup for today from searchenginejournal.com by Matt G. Southern, Microsoft has partnered with LinkedIn to launch the AI Skills Initiative, a free training program available on LinkedIn Learning aimed at equipping individuals with knowledge and skills in artificial intelligence. Recognizing the rising demand for AI skills in the workforce, the program offers an introduction to AI, emphasizing its responsible and ethical use. Participants will have access to coursework, instructional videos, and additional resources, including a trainer toolkit for educators. Upon completion of the course, participants will be awarded a professional certificate in generative AI from Microsoft, which can be showcased on their LinkedIn profile. This initiative is part of Microsoft's ongoing efforts to prepare the workforce for the future, as research indicates a high interest among individuals in leveraging AI for work, but also concerns about AI taking over jobs. The AI Skills Initiative is set to provide free access to coursework until 2025 and reflects Microsoft's commitment to fostering innovation and skill development in AI. So what do you guys think? Will this actually help tip the AI arms race in favor of workers at all? Or is this just a little shiny bauble you can adorn on your LinkedIn page? I'm going to look into possibly completing this certification myself just to find out more, and I'll keep you all updated if I do. Until next time, I'm Phil Buck, and this has been your AI Roundup for today. Now back to Ray Antonian's studio with some feedback from the audience.
So in our community feedback from last episode, we have from Carrie Wagner on the YouTubes. Yes, work from home is working for some businesses. I have a customer who had a big office with 30 plus folks coming in, day out. During COVID, he downsized the office by 60% and had all his employees start working from home. When things settled down, he had a policy that allowed each team to come into the office one day per week if they or their supervisor needed them to. And they love it. Thanks, Carrie, for the feedback. We appreciate it. And also in our community feedback via the YouTubes, we have Obohoed1875, I'm sorry for butchering that, saying no more offline gaming in reference to the Microsoft saying Windows 12 will be in the cloud. Who knows? The next Windows. Thank you for the feedback.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. On July 11th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Closing the Deal, Mastering Persistence and Expectations, presented by Everything MSP and OIT VoIP. On July 12th through the 13th, an in-person event, ASCII MSP Success Summit in Columbus, Ohio. And also on the 13th through the 14th, another in-person event, TMT Producers Club Q3 in Franklin, Tennessee. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, later today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 38 at 38, episode 14 with Jason Slagle of CNWR Inc. And coming back for episode 2, our newest show, MSP Community Live, on Sunday, July 9th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go and hit it 3 or 5 times. If you want to hear more, go and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV, where we announced the latest Fortinet vulnerabilities on July 5th. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we got some diversity. We got some love letters. It's a good day. It's not bad, right?
You know? Please don't ever send me a love letter. Please.
I mean, that love letter may be, you know, cut out magazine letters and sent anonymously through the postal service, but
Hey, and I love the way they call it a Wills letter. Like it's a Wells letter. It's a Wells letter. A like, hey, get well, because this is going to hurt you for a long time.
See, I thought I saw this as like drop you into the bottom of a well. Like this is a Tony Soprano kind of thing of like, if you don't get your stuff straight. Woo. Yeah.
Just getting a letter from the SEC is it's like getting the anyway, yeah, your blood test results came back. Please open this in a private room. You're like, you know, hey, we just want to tell you everything's good.
When the doctor says, I need to see you in person. Yes. But you know what? The MSPs, the only love letter they'll get from us is one with true love. MSPs, you take care of yourselves and each other.
It's true. Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
I regretted saying that the minute it came out.
Like you throw out like this is here is this massively complex. Look at this. Okay, let's get into the news. Now think. Like what just happened? Like I simultaneously am amazed, shocked. I started ovulating somehow, and I don't even know.
It's like when you do a Jaeger shot and then have like a pina colada right after, and your body's like, these are not normal combinations.
What is happening? Okay, yeah, I can go right into the next topic.
MSP Media problem. Network, the Jaeger shot of the MSP community.
The Jaeger shot. Okay.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it,